We are built for glory.
我们本性是要寻求荣耀。
We need to experience things that are glorious.
我们有这个追求荣耀的这个需要。
We're not simply built to survive another day.
我们被创造的目的不是只是想在这个世界上生存一天又一天。
When we look out in the skies, we see glory.
当我们朝天空看的时候，我们看到的都是一片的荣耀。
This is why statements such as this are so absurd.
这就是为什么在这个投影片上面，这么一句话是非常的荒唐。
No matter who you are,
不管你是谁
，even people who reject God would not argue when they gaze into the skies.
即使是背弃神的人。当他们注视到这个天空的时候
they would not argue that when they look at the galaxies that life does not matter.
当他们看了整个宇宙的时候，他们不会跟你争论说是生命是没有意义的。
When we look in the skies, we don't see a giant void.
当我们在朝天空看的时候，我们看的通常不是一片的这个空虚。
We don't simply see remoteness.
我们看的不是那种荒凉毫无边际的天空。
In general, we don't fall into despair, knowing that the universe is so large and we're vastly insignificant.
我们看到这个宇宙是这么的广大，然后我们是这么的微小，但是我们不会感觉到绝望。
But we see its beauty.
我们看到的是美丽
，splendor，
是柔美
，and majesty，
以及威严。
We are built for glory.
我们本性就是要寻求荣耀。
Specifically to gaze upon the glory of the Lord.
特别是要注视到神的荣耀。
We see God's glory when we see His goodness all around us.
当我们在我们四周看到神的这个美善的时候，我们会看到他的荣耀。
We get glimpses of this when we walk in the park and watch the flowers bloom in the spring.
当我们春天在公园里面散步，看到花朵在开花的时候
，watch the leaves change colors in the fall, or watch the first snowflakes fall in the winter.
或者是在秋天看到树叶变色，或者是冬天第一个雪花掉在地上的时候，我们都会看到神的荣耀。
We get glimpses of God's glory when we sink our teeth into that deep dish pizza.
当我们牙齿去咬一片很厚的这个披萨饼的时候，我们也会看到神的荣耀。
Or we dip that lobster in that butter sauce.
或者是我们把那个龙虾放到那个热的奶油里面的时候。
We get glimpses of God's glory and His goodness.
我们会看到神的荣耀以及他的美善。
When we hold a newborn baby or dream about all the future holds for that baby.
当我们手里面握着一个新生的婴儿的时候，然后在梦想到他以后一切美好的未来。
Of course, until the baby spits up on you.
当然呢，如果说这个新生的婴儿吐到你身上的时候，
But we get glimpses of God's glory when we hear a new song that connects with our hearts.
当我们听到一首新的歌曲，能够把我们的心灵的跟这首歌完全连在一起的时候，我们也看到神的荣耀。
We speak of glory when we fight in wars.
当我们在战场上有征战的时候，我们会讲到荣耀。
We speak of glory when we win football games.
当我们在看这个篮球赛比赛的时候，我们也会谈到荣耀。
Sometimes the quest for glory leads to disaster.
有的时候，为了追求荣耀，结果会带来大灾难。
People love to have their names put in record books.
人性是希望把我们的名字能够放到记录书里面。
The record for the fastest speed achieved by water vehicle is 217 miles per hour.
这个在水上行走的船能够达到的最高的速度的记录是每小时317英里。
This record was set back in 1978.
这个记录是在1978年的时候建立的。
Since then, many have tried and failed to break this record.
自从那个以后，很多人想试过去破这个记录。
And many of the failures were fatal.
很多这里面的失败，是一种致命的失败。
In fact, since 1940, there's an approximate 85% fatality rate for those who try to break this record.
自从1948年以来，所有想破这个记录的人当中， 有 85% 因为这样子而丧生了 生命。
According to Wikipedia, a man named Tony Millett will attempt to break the record next year.
根据这个 Wikipedia 这本书，有一个人叫 Tony Millett， 他是明年希望能够破这个记录。
If you know him, if he's your friend, what advice would you give him?
如果你认识他，如果他是你的朋友，你会给他怎样的建议呢？
85% fatality rate.
既然我们晓得是 85% 的人会世上生命。
Even worse than taking your own life, in seeking misguided glory, people take the lives of others.
这个比这个上升自己为了追求荣耀而上升自己生命更糟糕的是去追求一些错误的荣耀然后牺牲了别人的生命。
Carriage was attacked last Friday by people seeking glory of a false god.
这个巴黎这个上个礼拜这个恐怖攻击
Friday, yeah.
在礼拜五恐怖攻击让那个很多人丧失了生命而他们所追求的只是一个假神而已。
One pastor writes this way, as human beings, we are hardwired for all. We are hardwired for glory.
有一个牧师这么写过，从一个人类的角度来看的话，我们的基因，也就是我们天生就是要追求能够有所敬畏的事情。
We are on constant quest to be amazed and live in wonder.
我们经常是要寻求那个能够让我们活在奇异或者是美妙的事情当中。
To be able to connect ourselves to something that can satisfy your longing hearts.
我们最终的目的是能够让我们饥渴的心能够跟某件事情联络上。
We cannot imagine life without glory and splendor.
我们其实真正的不能够想象生命会有生命当中会有缺乏这个荣耀跟荣美。
And this is why depression is so horrible.
这也就是为什么如果说有人有这种抑郁症的话是很可悲的。
In some ways, depression robs us of glory or perception of glory.
在某一个方面来讲，这个抑郁症让我们不会对这个荣耀有特别的感受。
The depressed are not motivated to live life to the fullest because they do not perceive glory.
有抑郁症的人，他不能够把生命能够完完全全的活出来，因为他们没有对这个荣耀不会感受到。
One psychologist puts it this way: depression is experience of depletion.
有一个心理学家这么写过，就说是抑郁症呢是一种有一种是萎缩，给人一种萎缩的经验。
You're worn out, hollowed out, devoid of enthusiasm or vitality.
你会感到这个特别的疲倦，然后你会感觉到中空，以及生命上的这个热忱以及活力都会消失。
Your senses are dull, perhaps a point of taking very little around you, taking in very little around you.
你的感官都会变得非常的迟钝，然后你四周发生的一切事情，你不太容易能够感受到。
Researchers noted that our moods are affected the most by what we take in through our senses, what we smell, hear, see, feel, and taste.
This
process neurobiologically, but emotionally as well.
这个研究的结果通常是告诉我们说，我们五官的这个能够感受的事情是能够会影响我们心情的，所以我们不光是会在这个生物神经上会受到受到影响，对我们的这个情绪上也会受到影响。
So the implication is this: in depression, we lose our ability to perceive a glory.
所以这个给我们的这个暗示或者是启示呢，就说是在人有这个抑郁症的时候，我们就不太容易感受到四周的荣耀。
There's no life apart from seeking glory, because we're built for glory.
所以也就是说，如果说我们不寻求荣耀的话，生命基本上不会存在，因为我们基本是本性是要寻求这个荣耀的。
We must seek glory.
我们必须要寻求荣耀。
In reality, there's only one glory that's worth living for.
在实际上来讲的话，只有一个荣耀是值得我们寻求的。
There's only one glory that we're designed to seek.
只有一个荣耀是我们天生就是被设计要寻求的。
That's the glory of God.
那就是神的荣耀。
When we seek glory in the goodness of created things. They either point us toward God or they point toward themselves.
当我们在看这个我们四周被创的被创造的这些事情的美善的时候，他们要不然就把这个箭头会指到神的方面，要不然就指到箭头指到自己。
Romans chapter 1 challenges us that everything, that everyone knows God through creation. There are no atheists.
这个罗马书第一章给我们的这个挑战呢，就说是希望我们在被创造的事情上面能够认识神，没有所谓的这个无神论。
Verse 19 and 20 talks about these invisible attributes of God manifested in the creation. Isn't that the glory of God?
然后第十九跟第十二十节告诉我们说，在所有这个创造的事情上面，能够彰显出来的神的看不见的特性，也就也不就是神的这个本身的荣耀吗
？So what is invisible is God is invisible, but His creation displays His glory.
神本身是看不见的，是不能被人看见的，但是他所创造的事情能够陈列他的一切的这个荣耀。
Now the problem is this.
问题是这样子。
When we see God, when we see things in creation, we see the glory of creation.
当我们看这个被创造的这个世界，看到这个这个被创造的世界的荣耀
，We want to worship creation.
我们就开始要朝那个崇拜被创造的事情的这个上面。
There's exchange here.
然后这边有一个替换。
For the idol worshippers, they exchange one glory for another.
对这些偶像崇拜者，他们是用一种荣耀来替换另外一种荣耀。
The glory of the Creator, they only see the glory of the creation.
他们只看到被创造的这个荣耀没有看到创造者的荣耀。
Verse 23, they exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal beings, birds and reptiles.
所以他们第23节就讲到用了这个生命有限的这些东西被创造的东西来代替了生命无限的这个创造者。
This is the problem of idol worship.
这也就是偶像崇拜的问题。
If you were here with us last week, we talked about Israel during Ezekiel's time being in idolatry.
你上个礼拜如果说你在的话，你晓得我们谈过。就说是以色列在以西结那段时间的时候有崇拜偶像。
They're giving up the glory of God for glory in created things.
他们为了这个被创造的这个荣耀，事情的荣耀，放弃了这个创造者的荣耀。
Ezekiel's version spans chapter 8 through chapter 11, and this was a problem described in chapter 8.
以西结第八章到十一章，这就是第八章提出来的一些问题。
In chapter 9, Ezekiel shows that judgment is coming.And that's because of the idol worshippers.
And 第九章的话，以西结提到就说这个这个偶像崇拜者的这个审判马上就要来到了。
Six destroyers are called to judge Jerusalem, and the main land is called to have mercy on some.
然后有六个这个毁灭者会来到耶路撒冷来审判这些人，但是会有一个穿麻衣的。来到耶路撒冷，但是给那些值得怜悯的，给他怜悯。
In chapter 10, chapter 11, we see in today's passage, we see that the glory of God leaves the temple.
然后今天的经节，也就是第十章跟第十一章，会提到神的荣耀离开了圣殿。
And this departure is another aspect of God's judgment upon Israel.
然后这个离开这个本身这件事情也是神给以色列的这个审判的一部分。
The glory of God in the Bible is often refers to God's manifestation, God being invisible, but glory being his display.
这个神的荣耀是神的这个特性的彰显。也就是说神虽然是我们肉眼看不见的，但是通过了他的这个荣耀，神可以把他的这个本性彰显出来。
God is everywhere.
神是无所不在。
But his glory may be manifested in particular location.
但是他的荣耀可能只会在某一个地方彰显出来。
When his glory is shown in a certain location, It is sometimes referred to as the dwelling glory of God. This is where God lives.
如果说神的这个荣耀是在某一个地方彰显出来的话，意思就是说神当时是居住在那个地方。
God is living with His people.
神在那个地方跟他的子民居住。
And in many ways, this is what made Israel a people of God.
在很多方面来讲的话，这也就是为什么以色列人被称为神的子民。
The glory of the God of the universe was living specifically with Israel.
这个整个宇宙的这个神的荣耀当时是指跟以色列那块地在跟以色列人一起居住。
From the beginning, when they were called out of Egypt, when the nation of Israel was still developing its identity, God's glory appears to Israel in the form of cloud and fire.
在这个以色列人当初离开埃及的时候，神的荣耀就跟他们在一起居住。然后，所以他的这个彰显是跟火跟云来表现出来。
The book of Exodus talks about their exit out of Egypt. 13 out of 40 chapters in this book has to do with the tabernacle or the tent.
这个出埃及记这本书是讲这个以色列人离开埃及，然后40章里面大概有13章提到这个会幕或者是这个会帐这件事情。
In these 13 chapters, God lays out the plan for the tabernacle, the plan for His priest, and then it repeats itself by saying this is how everything was done according to the plan.
这个十三章里面提到这个这个会幕这件事情，然后会就说怎么样去设计这个会幕这件事情，然后提到怎么样去这些祭司应该怎么样去做这个祭礼，然后会把这些事情重复的再提一遍。
The tabernacle had to be built to the exact pattern that Moses saw on the mountain, because the tabernacle is a copy and a shadow of heaven.
这个会幕是。这个会幕的这个设计以及建造也是要非常的准确的，而且要完全根据摩西在西乃山上看到的影像要完全的一样，因为这个会幕是天上的一个反影，也是天上的一个影印本。
The tabernacle represents the abode of God on earth.
这个会幕是代表神在地上的居住所。
The book of Exodus does not end with Israel out of Egypt.
这个出埃及记这本书最后结束的时候以色列人还没有离开这个。
Oh, no, it doesn't end just with the Exodus.
它不是只是就说是讲到这个以色列人离开埃及。
It ends with the coming of the glory of God upon Israel.
他这个结束的时候是讲到这个神的荣耀已经上到以色列国。
The last two verses. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
当时云彩遮盖会幕，耶和华的荣光就充满了帐幕。摩西不能进会幕，因为云彩停在其上，并且耶和华的荣光充满了帐幕。出埃及记40章34到35节。
The central piece of furniture in the tabernacle is the Ark of the Covenant.
这个会幕里面最重要的一个一个器具是这个约柜。
In many ways, the glory of God not only dwelt in the tabernacle but over the Ark of the Covenant.
所以很多方面来讲的话，神荣耀不光是住在这个会幕里面，他甚至在这个约柜的上面。
The covenant represents the relationship of God with Israel, and that God lives among them.
这个 the tabernacle or the ark?
The ark. The ark of the covenant. The covenant itself is a promise of God.
这个约柜本身是代表神的这个应许。
Remember, tabernacle is another word for tent.So when Israel traveled, the tent had to be taken apart and reassembled, but the Ark of the Covenant would then represent God's presence with His people.
所以我们刚才提过，就说是这个会幕本身是一个帐篷的意思，所以他们在这个漂流的时候，这个帐篷常常要被拆下来，再建立起来。在设立起来，所以在这个过程当中，这个约柜就代表了神的荣耀。
When Israel is nomadic, as they were wandering, tabernacle is great. They can move it about, and God's presence will move with them.
所以这个会幕，他们在这个他们在漂流的时候，这个会幕会被收起来，会被建立起来，然后神的话就跟他们一起的行动。
But as they conquered towns and settled into cities, and the monarchy was established, a permanent temple was built for the ark.
当他们这个漂流的生活开始结束了，然后他们开始定居在一个城市的时候，然后王朝开始建立了，所以他们要准备开始建立一个圣殿来存放这个约柜。
King Solomon dedicates the temple.
所罗门王奉献了这个圣殿。
And we read that as the ark was moved to its resting place in the temple, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord.
然后这个约柜就放到这个圣殿里面，变成了他的安息所。然后这个云彩就充满了这个圣殿。
And the priest could not perform his service because the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple.
然后这些祭司不能够行他的敬礼，因为这个云彩，也就是神的荣耀，充满了圣殿。Over
and over again, we see the glory of the Lord associated with cloud and fire.
一次再一次，我们看到这个云彩跟火柱，代表了这个神的这个荣耀。The
cloud is there for man's benefit because we cannot gaze upon the full glory of the Lord.
然后这个云彩在那边的主要目的是帮助人类，因为我们不能够直接的注视到神的荣耀。On
one hand, we have no fulfillment in our lives apart from the glory of God. On the other hand, because of our finiteness and our sinfulness, we cannot fully gaze upon the glory of God.
这一方面来讲的话，我们如果说没有了神的荣耀的话，就没有了生命。但是另一方面来讲的话，因为我们的这个有限的程度，以及我们有的罪性，我们不能够直接的注视到神的荣耀。Moses,
when he asked to see God's presence, God's glory gets his response.
这个摩西当他问，被当提到这个神的荣耀的时候，他有这么一个答案。Then
the Lord said, "There's a place near me where you may stand on rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen."
耶和华说，看哪。 在我这里有地方，你要站在磐石上，我的荣耀经过的时候，我必将你放在磐石穴中，用我的手遮掩你。等我过去，然后我要将我的手收回，你就得见我的背，却不得见我的面。Even
Moses cannot see the face of God in his full glory.
即使是摩西，他都不能够直接注视。 神的面，看到神的全部的荣耀。God
must veil himself in glory so that man may not perish.
神必须要把他的这个荣耀稍稍的遮掩一点，所以人才能够存活下去。It's
like we're looking into the sun.
有点像我们想用我们的眼睛去注视这个太阳。
I remember when we were in school, we used to build these little contractions so we can look at the shadow of the solar eclipse.
我记得我小时候在学校的时候，我们做这么一个小的工具，让我们在这个日食的时候能够通过那个工具来看日食的阴影。A
box with a foil with a hole in it so the sun can shine through and we see the shadow.
基本上的话就是一些锡箔纸，然后中间有一个洞，然后这个太阳照到上面的时候，我们看的只是它的阴影。Even
when the sun is mostly blocked in partial eclipse, we can damage our eyes when we look straight into the sun.
即使是这个太阳在日食的时候，虽然说已经被大部分遮掩住了，但是我们直接去看着它的话，我们还是会伤害我们的眼睛。So
it is with God's glory. We need it, and we regularly bask in His goodness, just like we need to see with the sunlight.
所以就像是神的荣耀一样，我们是需要他的，而且我们是在他的这个光之下。
But even Moses could not see the full glory of God, and that's why God's glory is often represented with clouds or a mist.
但是即使像摩西，他都不能够直接看到神的荣耀，也就是为什么这个神的荣耀常常是用来这个常常被这个云或者是火或者是雾来代表。
Another association with the glory of God is fire.
那另外一个神的荣耀的这个代表的象征是火。
And this was seen in passage today.
这个是我们今天看到的，今天经文上能看到的。
The main linen is commanded to take the burning coal from between the cherubim, the angels, and scatter them through the city.
所以这些人的话，他要从这个天使这个基路伯的手上能够接过来火炭，然后把它分洒到整个城市。
The burning coals represent judgment and holiness.
这个火炭是能代表这个审判以及这个圣洁。
Fire is used to purify.
火是用来洁净的人的。
And it purifies by destroying.
然后这个所谓能够净洁，就是把坏的东西能够毁灭掉。
I don't know if this is common practice, but when I was young, I would get splinters in my hands.
这我不晓得是不是大家都这么做过。我小的时候，我会手上会卡到一些碎片。
And my mom would take a sewing needle and take the splinters out for me.
我妈会拿一个这个绣花针，然后把这些碎片从我手上能够踢出来。
But she would always put the needle in a fire to sterilize it.
但是在弄我这个手上之前，她会把这个针放到火里面去把它洁净一下。
The fire cleanses the needle by killing the germs.
这个火是把这个针头能够洁净。洁净的方法是把这些细菌能够杀死。
In the same way, fire purges what is evil from the glory of God.
所以同样的，这个火是在把神眼中的一些罪恶都能够把它洗净。
And I think this is part of what the clouds mask when we see the glory of God. The clouds mask this glory, the fire of God.
但我想的话，这个云彩所遮掩的一些东西，也就是这个因为神的荣耀而发出来的这些火焰。
Sinful man cannot look into the full glory of God.
有罪的人不能够直接的注视到神的荣耀。
Furthermore, for God to use man, he must purify us. We must be put through the fire.
进一步来讲的话，如果说神要能够使用人作为他的器皿的话，人必须要被洁净。
Romans 3:23 makes it clear that all have sinned, and as a result of our sin, we fall short of the glory of God.
罗马书三章二十三节提到所有人世人都有罪，我们都亏欠了神的荣耀。
In ourselves, we cannot see God's glory; we fall short of it.
我们自己不能够看到神的荣耀，因为我们亏欠他了。
So back to the days of Solomon.
回头讲到这个所罗门王那个时期。
The glory of God comes in temple.From the time of Solomon up to the time of Ezekiel.
所以神的荣耀进入了圣殿，一直从所罗门王的时候到这个以西结的时候。
And for 850 years, the glory of the Lord had more or less resided or lived with Israel.
大概有850年的时间，这个神的荣耀一直跟以色列人居住。
And during that time, there have been periods of time.When the glory of the Lord departed from Israel, when the ark was taken from them.
在这段中间有那么一个很短暂的时间，这个约柜被从以色列人中间拿走了，掳走了，所以神的荣耀就离开他们。
One time the Philistines captured the ark.
有一次这个腓力士人掳了这个约柜。
And Eli was a priest at that time.
以利是当时的祭司，大祭司。
And one day.The ark was taken, and his two sons were killed.
有一天，约柜那天就是那个约柜被掳走的那天，他两个儿子也被战场上杀死。
And Eli dies that day also.
然后以利在那天也死了。
Eli dies from the news, not that his sons are dead. He dies from the news that the ark of the covenant was taken.The ark of God was taken.
这以利死的原因并不是因为他听到了他两个儿子死的消息，而是因为他听到了这个约柜被掳走的消息。
He heard that the ark was taken, and Eli fell backwards off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man, and he was very heavy.
然后他听到了这个约柜被掳走的消息的时候他从椅子上往后跌倒，然后把他的这个脖子跌断了，因为他比较身体比较沉重。
So it wasn't just that he heard the news of his sons, but he heard the ark of God was taken, and he had this reaction.
所以他所谓有这个反应，并不是因为他听了他 两个儿子死的消息，而是因为他听到了这个约柜被掳走的消息。
The ark will soon be returned to Israel.
这个约柜很短的时间之内就被归回到以色列人。
Because the Philistines cannot stand the glory of God.
因为这个这个 Philistine 他能当时能够当时不能够接受神的不能够跟神的荣耀一起同并存。
When they captured the ark, judgment went with the ark.
因为这个他们掳了这个约柜以后，这个跟随的这个约柜来的这个审判，马上就临到他们的身上。
God is holy, and will not tolerate sin.
神是圣洁的，他们神是不能够容忍这个罪性的。
In the days of Ezekiel, God's glory finally leaves the temple.
在以西结的时候，神的荣耀就离开了圣殿。
Soon Jerusalem is sacked.
然后很快，这个以色列就耶路撒冷就被毁灭了。
Jews are scattered.
然后这个犹太人被游散到四地。
The king Zedekiah is blinded.And shackled and then taken to Babylon.
然后他们的这个国王，那时候以色列王，眼睛被盲目了，然后被手被这个手铐铐住了，然后带到这个巴比伦去。
Jewish history ends.
然后这个犹太人的历史当时就结束了。
Israel and Judah are no more.
那个时候没有所谓的以色列国或者是犹大国了。
If this is a sad day in history, this would be it.
如果说有所谓的这个历史上有一个悲伤日的话，这就是悲伤日了。
It's not only the fall of a kingdom physically as Jerusalem is set for plunder.
不光是这个不光是也不完全是这个国被以色列国被灭亡，也不是说是这耶路撒冷这个城被毁灭。
But the removal of God's visible presence is removed from spiritually.
但是最重要的是神的荣耀。当时跟以色列一起共居住神的荣耀被离开了。
The nation that was supposed to be a light to the nations now has its light taken away.
这个原来是应该是世界各国的这个的这个灯世界各国的这个光的这个国家，也就是以色列国，他们自己本身的光也被灭了。
Israel was to be a nation that radiated God's glory to the nations, so that the nations may come to God.
以色列国原来是要向世界各地能够散这个神的这个光，但是他这个光他自己本身的光反而被灭了。
Now its light is removed.
然后他们的生命也被毁灭了。
Of course, we know that this is not the whole story.
但是我们晓得这不是整个故事的结局。
God hates sin, yet He keeps His promises.
神是厌恶这个罪性，但是他却保守他的应许。
God hates sin, yet He's merciful.
神厌恶这个罪性，但是他是怜悯的神。
The glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountains to the east of it.
耶和华的荣耀从城中上升，停在城东的那座山上。
So when the glory of the Lord departs from the temple from the city, where does it go?
当神的荣耀离开了这个圣殿离开了这个城市，他去哪里呢？
He goes east.
他往东走。
Jewish tradition, rabbinic tradition says that the glory of the Lord departs from the temple, goes to Mount Sinai, and eventually farther east to Babylon.
这个耶稣的犹太人的这个传统的讲法是他们这个神的荣耀离开了耶路撒冷城，然后到了这个过了这个城东的这个山上，继续往东走，最后到了巴比伦。
Babylon is where the Jewish exiles were taken.
然后巴比伦是当初被掳的这个以色列人所居住的地方。
For the remainder of the Old Testament, we no longer hear about the glory of God as something visible.
从这个以后以后的这些圣经里面的这个旧约所讲的事情当中，我们没有再能够看到神提到神的荣耀的事情。
But we do know God does not leave His people.
但是我们很确信的就是神不会离开他的子民。
The exiles will return.
这个被掳的人最后会回归。
And under Nehemiah and Ezra, a second temple is built.
在耶利米跟这个以斯拉的时代，第二个圣殿会被重建。
The glory of the Lord never enters this temple as it did when Solomon dedicated the first temple.
但是神的荣耀呢，没有像这个所罗门当初奉祭这个第一个圣殿的时候一样，他没有再没有在这个进入这个第二个圣殿。
The prophets such as Haggai prophesied that the glory would enter the second temple. We have no record of it in the Old Testament.
虽然说这个哈该这个先知预言说神的这个荣耀会第二次进入圣殿，但是在这个旧约里面我们都没有看到任何的记录。
So what does it mean for us today?
所以对我们来讲的话，今天来讲的话，这有什么意义呢？
We are built for glory.
我们本性是要寻求荣耀，
and specifically the glory of the Lord.
特别是神的荣耀。
Apart from the glory of God, we had no true fulfillment, we had no happiness.
当我们离开了这个神的荣耀的时候，我们不会有真正的这个满足，也不会有真正的快乐。
Is God's glory available for us today?
神的荣耀对我们今天来讲，是我们可以取得的吗？
In the opening lines of the fourth gospel, we see that Jesus fulfills this prophecy of Haggai, that God dwells with us.
在福音书里面第四章，也就是约翰福音第一章里面提到了
The glory of God now lives in human flesh. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father for grace and truth.
也就是提到了，就是说是 the word 这个道成的肉身住在我们中间，充充满满的有恩典的有真理，我们也见过他的荣光，正是父独生子的荣光。
The word that we translate in English as dwelling is the Greek word for tent or tabernacle.
所以这个这个希腊文用来形容这个居住所的这个希腊文也就是同样的意思，也就是帐幕或者是帐篷的意思。
John had in mind thatWhen the Word became flesh, He made His tabernacle. He made His to remind us of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. He tabernacled among us.
所以约翰他当初的意思就是说是道成肉身的时候，耶稣来到这个世界的时候，他是居住在我们当中，也就是说他的帐篷就安放在我们的当中。
When Jesus lived among us.He lived among us as the glory of God lived among Israel.
这个耶稣在居住在我们当中，就像当初神的荣耀居住在圣殿中当中一样。
But really, the analogy is the other way.
但是这个比例的话，其实是反个方向来看。
God's presence in Israel was a shadow of Jesus to come. The reality is in Jesus, not in the tabernacle.
所以这个实在的存在性是在耶稣基督，耶稣基督当初以色列的这个神的荣耀，只是对耶稣基督来临的一种预言。
Do you understand what I'm saying? The reality of God's glory resides in Jesus Christ.
所以我的意思就是说是神的荣耀，在非常的这个实际上来讲的话，神的荣耀是居住在耶稣基督的身上。
All that Israel saw in the past were just shadows.
但以色列人当初在旧约里面所提到的一切事情，只是一些影子而已。
And this is how Haggai's prophecy is fulfilled. When Jesus went into the temple, the full glory of God is in the second temple.
这也就是为什么当初这个先知哈该的预言被实现了，就是等这个耶稣基督进到圣殿的时候，神的荣耀又重新的盖住整个，充满了整个圣殿。
And for us,
对我们来讲
，This is our hope.
这是我们的希望。
That we will dwell with God in New Jerusalem.
That we will.
We will live with God in New Jerusalem.
我们会跟神一同居住在这个新的耶路撒冷。
I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.
我又看见圣城新耶路撒冷由神那里从天而降，预备好了，就如新妇装饰整齐等候丈夫。我听见有大声音从宝座出来说，看哪，神的帐幕在人间，他要与人同住，他们要做他的子民，神要亲自与他们同在，做他们的神，神要擦去他们一切的眼泪，不再有死亡，也不再有哀悲哭嚎疼痛，因为以前的事都过去了。
You see that God's dwelling place will once again be in Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem, and we will be with him forever.
所以这里就提到神的一个新的住所就是在这个新的是在耶路撒冷，但是这是一个新的耶路撒冷，然后在那个时候我们会跟他一起居住。
Let me read another section from Revelation. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine upon, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it.
我未未见城内有殿，因主神全能者和羔羊为城的殿。那城内又不用日月光照，因有神的荣耀光照，又有羔羊为城的灯。列国要在城的光里行走，地上的君王必将自己的荣耀归于那城女。
I wonder in heaven if the clouds will be rolled back, if the clouds will be taken away, and the glory of God only remains as light.
我有时候在想在上天堂的时候，这些云彩会不会被推散，然后神的荣耀能够完全的彰显出来。
When sin and death are no more, can we gaze upon the full glory of God?
当这个罪跟死亡都不再存在的时候，我们是不是能够直接的注视到神的全部的荣耀？
To walk by his light and have the nations produce splendor into this kingdom.
我们是不是能够跟着他的光行走，然后让整个新的国度能够产生他的这个荣美。
God will fulfill our deepest need, the thing that makes us most joyful. He will give himself, the glory of God, to us.
神能够满足我们最迫切的需要，他能够他能够给我们所需要的一切。
But for now we have the same problem that Jerusalem faced in Ezekiel's time.
但是我们现在的问题跟当初以西结在以色列国面对的问题是一样的。
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
我们都有罪了，然后亏欠了神的荣耀。
God solved this problem in Jesus Christ.
但是神替我们提供了一个解决的方法，那就是让他的儿子能够道成肉身。
Jesus came in grace.
耶稣是来的时候是在恩典中来的。
Yet to all those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God.
来接待他的就是信他名的人，他就赐他们权柄做神的儿女。这等人不是从血气生的，不是从情欲生的，也不是从人意生的，乃是从神生的。
When we celebrate Christmas, when we think about the incarnation, we realize the glory of God did not simply take on flesh to live among us.
当我们在庆祝圣诞节的时候，当我们想到这个道成肉身这件事情的时候，不完全是耶稣基督到这个世界上来跟我们一起居住。
He also took on flesh that he could take away all penalty for sin.
他反而是把自己成为一个人然后用这个肉体，他的肉体能够带我们的罪。
He took on flesh so that he may die so that we may truly live with him.
他道成肉身，所以能够把我们的罪都能够放到他的身上，让我们能够有机会得到永生。
All who believe in his name are born again of God, and as children of God, we can live with him forever.
所以所有信他名的人啊，成为他的子民，然后能够通过他能够得到永生。
And as Christians, let's return back to this idea of glory.
现在我们回头到这个再提到这个荣耀这件事情上。
That we're built for glory.
但我们这个本性是要寻求荣耀。
That the glory of God is what ultimately gives us joy and happiness.
这个神荣耀最终来讲的话，会给我们这个荣耀以及这个快乐。
C.S. Lewis in his essay, The Weight of Glory, writes this. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea.We are far too easily pleased.
这个 C.S. Lewis 这位作者他这么写过，他说我们的这个我们这个神，我们这个耶和华，常常觉得我们的这个这个期望不是太多，而且是反而是太少，因为我们好像是那种常常是那种不冷不热的那种人，我们常常为了一些世俗上面的事情，譬如说是醉酒，或者是性欲上面，或者是事业的这个雄心上面，我们常常为这些事情能够感到满足，就像一个小孩子，他有机会到海边去，在大海旁边。玩一些事情，但是他反而去选择到这个贫穷区的这个泥巴堆里面去玩，就我们太容易被这个世界上的事情满足了。
I think he's right.
我觉得他是对的。
We're so far too easily pleased with trivial things in life.
我们对世界上这些非常平凡的事情太容易让我们满足了。
God desires to give us His glory, something so much more than this world has to offer.
神已经要给我们他的荣耀，比世界上任何事情都超越过。
On this earth, we fall around this dream, sex, ambition all day.
但是我们活在这个世界上的时候，我们反而专注于这个性酒或者是事业上的事情。
Yes, there's goodness in eating and drinking.
没错，这个吃喝是很正常的事情。
When we eat and drink with moderation, Thanksgiving.We gain a glimpse of God's glory in His provisions for us.
在感恩节的时候，如果我们吃喝能够有限度的去吃喝的话，我们会看到神的荣耀。
Likewise, sexual pleasure within marriage is a glimpse of God's glory.
同样的，在婚姻里面的这个婚姻里面的男女的关系是也可以让我们看到神的荣耀。
Ambition can lead to fruitfulness as we work to see the glory of God on earth.
这个事业上的雄心的话，能够会让我们能够带来一些成果，这些成果也可以让我们看到这个神的荣耀。
Yeah, these are only glimpses of God's glory.
但是这些只是神的荣耀的一小部分。
And we need to long for much more. We're too far too easily pleased.
但是我们心灵是需要比那个多的太多，所以我们常常就会很容易的就被满足了。
We're not only far too easily pleased, we're far too easily distracted.
我们不光是很
glory.
我们不光是很容易被满足，而且我们很容易的，我们注意力很容易的就被分散了，然后没有注意到神的荣耀。
Gluttons and drunks makes eating and drinking their idol, their goal in life.
这个暴饮暴食的人，让他们在这个让他们在这个饮食上面成为了他们的这个荣耀。
For many, illicit sexual pleasures is the pursuit of their hearts.
对很多人来讲的话，在这个在这个性欲上面的这个追求，变成了他们的寻求的荣耀。
Ambition blinds millions with greed.
这个世界上的雄心的话，让上百万千万的人能够失去他的这个注意力。
And they don't see the good things that God wants to give them.
让他们就反正这些人就不能够看到神要给他们更好的东西。
To be happy, to be satisfied, we must rightly pursue God's glory.
真正的被满足，如果要真正的能够感到快乐，我们必须要追求神的荣耀。
We must cast off the sin that causes us to fall short of God's glory.
我们必须要把我们的罪性 那些让我们不能够看到神的荣耀的罪行能够洗净。
We must repent and accept Jesus Christ's payment for our sins that we may enter into God's glory.
我们要忏悔，然后要能够接受耶稣为我们死了所付的代价。
And we must do as Paul commands here. So whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
所以就像保罗命令我们的。所以我你们或吃或喝，无论做什么，都要为荣耀神而行。
This is our path to glory. This is our path to joy and fulfillment.
这个是我们这个是我们要追求神的荣耀的要走的道路。这是我们能够得到满足与快乐的道路。